I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome to our studios someone who's been here a few times as part of one of his bands, Trampled by Turtles, but he's back for his latest project, Dead Man Winter. We are welcoming Dave Simonette. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Christine.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. And special guest Benson Ramsey of the Pines joining in. And should let you know that Dave is going to be doing in-store, I was trying to remember the correct phrase, opposed to in-studio, which you're doing now.
I've been confusing them all day, actually.
Yeah. An in-store at the Electric Fetus tonight at 7. And then your next chance to see him is up at Papa Charlie's in Lutzen on February 3rd as part of the Groundwire Records Ski Weekend. And the Pines are also going to be there on Friday night, right? You guys are both playing Friday
yes.
night. And then there's music on Saturday as well, so a couple of nights of music. And you can find more info on that at Lutzen.com, also on Dead Man Winter's page as well. And then, as if that were not enough, you're also coming back to play a show at Pizza Luce on the 18th.
I can't get enough.
Is the ski show, and I'm assuming those are band shows that you're going to be doing.
Yeah, full band.
So full right. band up at Lutzen and full band at Pizza Luce. You do both. I think you just played solo up at Lutzen recently.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did as part of their songwriter series I do in the winter, mm-hmm. which is a blast, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance to go up there, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it seems like it would be. Well, you have a new album out called Furnace.
I do.
And we're going to talk about that, but why don't we start with a song? What do you want to
okay.
kick off with here?
It's called This House is on Fire. This house is on fire, and I can't escape it. I'm lonely and tired, no will left to fake it. We're drifting.
that is Dead Men Winter, a.k.a. Dave Simonette, and This House is on Fire, this tune that kicks off his new album, Furnace. That's the second album for the band, is that right? For Dead Men Winter?
Yeah, it is the second. I mean, the last one was a long time ago.
2011, I think, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked it up today.
I would have had to, yeah. It's been a while. I mean, and that, you know, that record was a blast to make, but I didn't really, I mean, I released the album, but I didn't really, like, you know, I didn't go on tour, didn't really play that much. Everybody involved was so busy, including myself, you know, with other projects. So it feels good to make a record with this group of guys and then be able to take the time to get out and play and tour on it and, you know, mm-hmm. come to KUMD and all that.
Well, and it's a slightly different group of guys. Eric Koskinen was also on the first one, and Tim Saxhaug, your bandmate, was on the first one as well, and they're both on this project. But I think the rest of the lineup is different. Is that right?
Yeah, that is. JT Bates is playing drums.
Who on so many great projects down in the Twin Cities.
And Brian Nichols plays keyboards, a local, mainly jazz keyboard player, but a really talented, diverse guy.
And the keyboards are so nice on this. So
thank you.
Just a really nice touch.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Because I was thinking about the differences between your bands. Did I mention Trampled by Turtles yet? I can't remember.
I think I heard you say it. Yeah.
Okay, I might have. You know, they're distinct projects, and you can do some things with this band that you can't do with Trampled by Turtles. Sure. I mean, I guess you could do whatever you wanted with them.
Well, you know, when I'm writing anyway, I always feel like I could take any song that I'm working on and probably, you know, put it in front of either group, and it would work. I might like one more than the other, but musically, you know, at the basic structure of the music, I feel like it's not terribly different, but, you know, for me, it's just really nice to... Instrumentation, it's a big thing, you know, and it's really nice to switch that up once in a while. And, you know, each one presents its own limitations and challenges, and that's always, it's good for me creatively.
Mm-hmm. And so with the first album, I think that you kind of did that because Trampled by Turtles was on a break, somebody, you know, families and such, and
right.
things were going on.
I had a minute.
Yeah, and this one was kind of the opposite, where it seems like you chose to take a minute. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, actually.
And you're kind of... saying, you know what, we're going to take a little break from Trampled by Turtles.
Yes.
I mean, 14 years. You've been doing this for 14 years.
Yeah, so. Pretty steadily throughout that time.
Yeah, so taking a break, not an unreasonable thing to do.
Sure, thank you.
But I think it kind of put people into a little bit of a tizzy.
Well,
did you feel that way, or am I just making
know.
That up?
you know, we never really made like a statement or anything. I guess I did see a little bit, but you know, I don't understand if somebody were to be angry at a band for taking a break, that doesn't really make any sense to me. I mean, it's if just like in any relationship, you know, if something needs time, then you should give it that time. I mean, suffocation is a terrible way to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I mean, it's our, you know, in the end it's our project and it's our band, and if we need a little time off the road, let's do it. It's great. Most bands do that, you know.
Right.
And it feels good.
And so we've been talking about the differences between that album and this album, and this album comes out of a very personal place, and you know, I know you've had to talk about that a lot, because you went through a really difficult time and a divorce, and you have a family, which makes that even worse.
Sure.
And you talk about in the album how you debated about even putting it out, and it does kind of seem like when there are other people involved, it must be just a really hard decision to like put that personal stuff and
And
if you are a person who actually cares about other people,
right.
how to do that in a sensitive way?
That you know, you're actually the first person that's brought that aspect of it up, and that's exactly it. Though it's you know, it's one thing. I mean, it's not all encompassing, but that's a major part of it. You know, there's one side of my struggle with whether or not to release the record that was purely personal, and you know, whether or not I wanted to kind of open up as much. I did in the songs, which is not really my normal way of working. But the other part of that is exposing other people involved, you know, like we all know the same people around here. So there's bound to be some of that, which is it's tough to balance all of that. But in the end, you know, for me, I'm a songwriter, so I write songs about my experiences or, you know, other people's experiences through my eyes or whatever. And that's just what I do. And that's kind of, you know, the final part of that process is releasing the record. And I think I've come to terms with all of that now.
Mm-hmm. You did actually, I think I read you did a previous version of the album.
I did, yeah.
And was that kind of dealing with the same material, or were you trying to not come from that place?
Well,
it sounded like you were kind of trying to avoid dealing with it for a while.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of the same songs ended up being on this final version of the record. Some of them were completely, like, basically the same, but changed a lot. Some of them are just the same song with a different band, pretty much. But, you know, initially, when I started to write those songs, I mean, I was in a very chaotic place, and I was just writing like crazy. And like you said, I was really trying to kind of avoid the elephant in the room a little bit while I was writing. It's like, I don't want to make a bunch of breakup songs, you know, like, let's try something else. But then it wasn't working. I mean, I've never really been able to write anything on purpose anyway. It's just kind of what comes out, you know, in the process. And the more I kind of stick to that, the happier I end up being with what happens usually. So it was just a period of struggle in all sorts of parts of my life, but including artistically. So I was fighting the current, you know, that was these songs, and I made a record, and I knew it the whole time that it wasn't right. But you know, here's the thing. I caved to something I really tried not to do, and that's, you know, I wanted to put a record out because because I had time to do it, you know? And I realized after some reflection that that's really the wrong way to go about it. And so in the end, I did what I should have done in the first place and got my friends together, and we went into a room and played a bunch of songs live, you know. And then it was so easy and so freeing, and it was one of my favorite recording experiences I've ever had, for sure.
Wonderful. Well, and you've got such great players. I mean, we were talking about your two different bands, and the one thread is great musicians, incredible musicians in both bands. So just to have this lineup to be able to work with.
Yeah, I feel very lucky in that respect, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the results are just wonderful.
Thank you.
And did I hear you kind of hold up near Finland, Minnesota to kind of do the final
writing?
That
was kind of my reaction to my banging my head against the wall, so to speak, for months on these songs, was that I just had to get out of town, you know. And it's not a new idea or anything. Lots of people do it, but it really changed. It was the first time I'd really done it with the sole purpose of writing. I wasn't going out of town for a show. You know, I wasn't going out of town for a vacation or something else. It was just to write for a few days, which sounded like a great idea. Ended up to me being a great idea. Terrifying to start. I got into the cabin and I sat down and like I had to write, you know. And I've always fit writing in between other things, and it's kind of the first time I gave it proper time. Ended up being very therapeutic. I've done it a few times since then.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, there are kind of those different schools where, you know, you treat it almost as a craft, and you just, you know, some people give themselves the assignment of doing it every day.
Yeah,
and
which I try to do now.
Do you? And it's going to be crap, and that's okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I try to write every day. I don't try to write songs every day, but mm-hmm. I'll write a page of just whatever. I mean, I'll write about that desk, you know, just to get my mind, like, the gears need to keep moving, you know, or they get rusty for me. Mm-hmm. And always kind of searching through other people's writing, because my vocabulary is fairly limited. And so if I'm, you know, trying to write another song, and I, you know, you get stuck in the same circles and the same phrases and the same tempos and all of these things. So it's kind of a constant battle to break yourself into new territory, at least in your own writing world. At least that's how I view it. So practice, yeah. It might not, once in a while you might even get a song out of it, but it's nice to just keep everything moving.
Well, and for you, it probably helps that you have very eclectic tastes. I think we've talked about that before. You like hip hop, you like all sorts
of
different things. So
sure.
Do you ever listen to just stuff that's so different than what you normally do, and does that help you?
Most of the stuff I listen to is different than what I do, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, sure. I mean, I try to take it all in there as much as I can handle anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on that same topic, you know, we were talking a little bit about this album, and, you know, it's very personal. And that's difficult for you in that moment.
Sure.
But it's kind of a long tradition of, you know, musicians who kind of, you know, put the blood on the tracks, which is the quintessential example. And for listeners, that's turned out to be something that maybe has helped them get through a difficult time. So maybe this will be something for other people.
That would be lovely. I mean, as a listener, I've had that experience. You know what I mean? Like listening to other people's music.
Well, and I'm curious about that. Like, was there anything, any kind of music that just...
You know, at the time I was writing, there was nothing. I wasn't doing anything. It was just, I feel like, I mean, I was leading a human life, you know, but, and, you know, I was getting up and I was showering and eating and all this. But I feel like looking back at it, it's kind of this blank spot. And I think that I felt, it felt really fast and chaotic and just kind of like stuck in a whirlwind, you know. So there was no research happening or I was just kind of pouring out lyrics, mm-hmm. you know. And but mm-hmm. the other side of that though is that I don't think anybody can escape their influences, you know, and whether that's music or the weather or, you know, the accent of the people you hang out with, all of those things kind of crumble up into your head. And, you know, every one of those is probably equally as responsible for a lyric as the other. So mm-hmm. I blame the lake as much as I blame Bob Dylan. Sure.
Well, and I'm thinking not only of influences, but just also of just things that you turn to get yourself through. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Whether it be
Rage Against the Machine yeah. or whether it be something.
I've listened to a lot of Rage Against the Machine lately, as a matter of fact.
I think that would be very cathartic at this point.
Has been.
Point
yeah.
in time.
Really loud. Really, really loud.
Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to do next?
This is called I Remember This Place Being Bigger. I was safely on the run and fall in a city after dark. And I found I knew no one at all and took the blood right out my heart. Watched it go from fall to winter. Falling snow would freeze and splinter me in a place like this with someone like you. Didn't sleep for days and days on end. And the fog got pretty dense. Other people like to tell me they had the same experience. What died in this place? If I have to see your smiling face on a faded stool in a faded bar, acting like the world didn't clearly end like we thought it would in another time. Think I'll go back to where I'm from, if I can stumble out of here. At least in Minnesota they don't run, run and hide this time of year. Perforate your pretty paper, lay it down so we can dance on grace in the frosted dawn with the ones we love. Some are here right now and some are gone for good, but I can feel them all in this world tonight.
Dead Man Winter live from Studio A, and that's another one from the new album Furnace. I remember this place being bigger. Anything you can tell us about that one?
Well, I guess you could say it's a song about rash decisions or something like that. I guess that's really what it is about, to tell you the truth.
And there's a bit of that on this album, and you don't really pull any punches on yourself, I would say. You know, Destroyer, you kind of, you know, even in the publicity that went out with the album, you talk about how, you know, I've kind of discovered I kind of pull things apart and maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe I need to figure that out.
I guess, you know, I feel like I was the one that had the punch coming. So, but it's all part of it. You know, it's taking a look at yourself sometimes too long is unhealthy, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you've got decisions that you're not that happy about that you've made, at a certain point, it's time to move on from that and get over it. And I was not there. I was in the opposite. I was, like, mired in my own self, you know? That's a terrible place to be. So a lot of that writing came from that and kind of just becoming just sick of myself, you know what I mean? And just, you know, trying to kick myself in the butt.
Mm-hmm. So... this band kind of, it seems like, you know, Trampled by Turtles has gotten so popular and, you know, you guys do major shows and major touring and it kind of seems like this is scaled down a little bit. You know, people still know who you are, but you kind of can do things on a smaller scale. And is that a little freeing in a way?
It is. Yeah. You know, we had Trampled had a good experience of that kind of recently when we started going to Europe, you know, a bit and showing up there and playing, you know, 100-person rooms and stuff, which, I mean, we've done that. I mean, Trampled, we did that for years, but there is something about a crowd that size or rooms that size that, I mean, it contains something that you can't get in a theater or a large club or something. There's some kind of immediacy there that as a performer, I love. I really do. And it's not just intensity or physical proximity to the crowd, though I think those things probably add into this, but there's just something there. And, you know, this pretty much treating this as a brand new band. I mean, we've technically been around for a long time, but it's the first time we've been out to play most of these places, you know, if not all. So it is, there's a lot of freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Expectation can be a heavy thing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, but you know, you I'm sure that you feel very fortunate to have achieved what you guys have achieved in Trampled by Turtles.
Oh, we're the luckiest guys in the world.
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with playing to that many people, but, but to have the opportunity to...
I'm not saying I'm not going to... I would turn it down. I'm just saying...
Right. No, I'm just saying once you get to that level, it must be a little bit, you know... refreshing to be able to kind of
it
do
is
something
and a tour like even on Trampled's size, and we're by far, you know, we're very far removed from a larger touring operation, but even on a tour that Trampled does, it becomes very mechanical, you know. And I don't mean the shows, but the process. I mean, there's a crew, there's a, you know, a much more rigid schedule and everything. It's great to have that, actually, but there is something about the borderline anarchy that goes into the, like, driving a van around and playing rock clubs that, you know, once in a while that works out with you in the shop for 3 days, but a lot of times some great stuff can happen there. And it's really given me some of my best memories. So I'm excited to go.
Nice. And you said some places you hadn't been yet. Like what kind of places?
I mean, with Dead Man Winter.
What kind of places are we talking?
I mean, pretty much everywhere besides Denver and Minneapolis and Duluth.
Okay.
And Lutzen, you know?
Okay, yeah.
We did play in Chicago. I think we played in Milwaukee once, but we've never really made it out of the...
Well, yeah, that's true, because the first project.
We went to Alaska once, but we're not going there on this tour.
I think I was just reading about that story because you knew people there.
I love it.
From that you used to work with something.
From here, actually, from Luce here. Yeah. And then Trampled went, I mean, Trampled goes, it seems like every other year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get up there as often as
and
I can.
Tell me about that. It's a little town. Is it a little town?
Skagway.
Or? Yeah.
That's like the hangout for me when I'm up there. I mean, we play... You know, there's a few places to play in Alaska that, it's probably many places to play, but there's a few that you can get to within a reasonable amount of time in order to link together a tour, you know? So Denali, Anchorage, the Kenai, Juneau, Skagway, and Haines are kind of like mainly these towns that we've been kind of frequenting the last 5 or 6 years, and it's become a really great spot for us and for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Do they get a lot of bands coming through there? Or
no, and that's I think that's part of the reason yeah. it's been so good.
It seems kind
because
of fun.
You show up, you know, and. Yeah. In a lot of these towns, and this is, I feel like I sound like I'm calling them like country bumpkins or something like that, because it's not like that, but there aren't a lot of, it's hard to get to, you know? So when a band comes, it seems like the whole town kind of gets behind the event, and we get people that probably, you know, if we were playing, if they lived in New York and we went to play, maybe they would never see us, but it's the thing going on in town that night, so it makes for kind of a special atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were joking about Rage Against the Machine, listening to that a lot lately.
Well, I wasn't joking.
And it reminded me of, I was going to ask you, you're pretty, I love your Twitter, I think is
angry?
What I'm trying to say. Like you do not, another place you do not pull punches is on your Twitter.
Well, it's easy to not pull punches on Twitter.
Does that, does freely expressing your opinions, does that get you in trouble with fans sometimes ever?
Sure.
Do they argue with you on Twitter?
Of course,
I've seen your tweets, but I haven't paid much attention to how people respond to them.
Yeah, and you know, I struggle with that a little bit. Not struggling with arguing, I could like to argue with people, so go for it. That's fine. But yeah, often I'll wake up the next morning and be like, God, just shut up, Dave. Like, just keep it in. But once in a while, I mean, in my opinion, that's kind of what those platforms are for. So I can yell it into the void. It does, you know, it doesn't take any bravery to send tweets. That's it's your,
as we've seen.
Right. Yeah. Right. And maybe it will in the near future. I don't know. It might get a little weirder soon, but. In my opinion, like you're just saying something, and it's not like it's not an actual human interaction when you're just saying it to the internet, like to everybody on the internet. So if people get offended by lots of things, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really care. Whatever.
We have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
We will do. Oh God, what's the other one we're gonna do? Oh, Weight of the World. Lock it up, my pretender. I thought I would know you better. Like a child high above the weather, I saw you sinking with the weight of the world. Are getting deep now, and all you want to do is sleep now. You could go on, but I don't really see how. And here we are at the edge of the world. Mockingbird, you come to my window in the dead of night to see if we're all right. The moonlight in your eyes, then you're gone. Seems like so long ago then, I watched you pack it up and go there. Still I cry, 'cause I don't know why. never stand the weight of the world. Mockingbird, you come to my window in the dead of night to see if we're all right. Moonlight in your eyes, and then you're gone.
Dead Men Winter, live from Studio A, and that, of course, is Dave Simonette of Trampled by Turtles, special guest in the studio, adding some lovely guitar today, Benson Ramsey of the Pines here as well. Well, just a couple more quick things I wanted to ask you. Let's see, do I have them both written down? I saw you something about you working with other bands. Have you been doing producing? Is that something
a little
that's happening?
Yeah. It's been kind of a new endeavor for me, which I've so far enjoyed thoroughly. But it's been, a few friends' bands really so far. Mm-hmm. But I've been lucky enough to work with some really fun people and working on some really cool records. And I've been working in Pachyderm a bit, which is one of my favorite places to be. So.
And where you did this album?
Yeah, we did this album and the last Trample record as well. Mm-hmm. It's been great. I'd love to do it more.
Nice. And then I just wanted to ask you about one thing, because Trampled has been doing the Festival Palomino for the last couple of years. So I think people were wondering, is that still going to happen this year, do you think?
I don't think it is.
Not?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the first, I think I can say that out loud now. It doesn't sound like it.
If not.
I'm pretty sure I would have been working on it. But no, I think it's just going to be a year off, you know?
Okay.
Probably. It's impossible to say, I guess. But at this point, that's where it's at. And I've had a blast working with doing that festival, and we all have. It's been a lot of fun. But you know, there's a lot going on especially in Minneapolis in the summer, and I'm looking forward to playing some other things, you know, and not having that big piece of work happening for at least a year. We'll see what happens after that, but there's just, I mean, every weekend there is a festival, or there is a party at a brewery or something. There's just something every weekend, and which I think is a wonderful thing. And so, I mean, putting on events is something I'm still very interested in. So we'll see what happens down the line. But I think the break is kind of extending just to kind of everything we do at this point.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of festivals, one thing that you guys are going to be doing is the Blue Ox Festival. I saw they just released the lineup
for that.
And I'm sure other things will come up, but that just was one I happened to notice.
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Really cool spot.
I haven't been yet. I got to check that out.
Come on down.
I got to check that out. All right. So one more time, we're going to run down all the stuff you're doing. You will be at the Electric Fetus tonight for an in-store at 7 o'clock. I'm going to assume that Benson's going to be with you for that.
Benson is. Yep. I've talked him into two in a row.
He's shaking his head. You guys better work this out.
That might have been it. Oh, we haven't. Yeah. I guess we'll see after we get in the car.
Coming up, Papa Charlie's at Lutzen. This is coming up. February is coming up so soon, and my brain hasn't figured that out
tomorrow,
yet. It's
right?
Friday night.
It is.
Yeah, it's Friday night is when you guys are going to be
at Lutzen.
Ski
party happens Friday and Saturday.
And both Dead Man Winter and the Pines are going to be playing that night. And then it continues on Saturday as well with other bands. And then Dead Man Winter back at Pizza Luce in Duluth on February 18th. And who's on that bill?
That's Glenn's neighbor is playing before us.
Okay.
And I believe that's going to be the release of the record, but I produced that record as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and those guys are old dear friends of mine, so that should be a fun night.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks
I really appreciate
us.
You coming
in. It's been nice.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood, Aaron Welch, and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.